Hi everyone, welcome to this week's Roundtable Podcast episode. In this episode, we'll be discussing the topic of peer pressure. Personally, I really wasn't going to do this episode until these two convinced me into doing it. Saud, would you like to take on from there and just discuss exactly what we'll be talking about today?
Sure. So in terms of pressure, we'll be talking about that from a societal standpoint and how it affects everyone, basically everything they do. And we'll also be touching upon mental health, peer pressure, mob mentality, also known as herd mentality, and anything of that comes along with that.
Let's go. Let's get into it. So, right. Mob mentality, I mean, that happens a lot in our friend group, doesn't it? Especially all WhatsApp right. group chats. Especially WhatsApp group chats. Yeah. It's like one person gets attacked, and then before you know it, everyone who you thought was your friend is against you now.
But it's all
forget
good
the WhatsApp
fun.
Group chats. It's Among Us. Among Us has
Oh god, that game is absolutely.
So who's looking sus? Everyone votes Sue.
That is actually like the new mob mentality, isn't
what
it?
What was just... it like the other day? I just jokingly went to the emergency button. I was like, guys, I saw Saud vent. Everyone, without no evidence, nothing. Saud has been eliminated.
Dude, that's like assumption at its highest. It's like, oh, he did it. Oh, bro, I trust you. I know you the most. Let's go. Let's do it.
It's crazy how mob mentality just makes its way, not just from WhatsApp group chats, but like to games like Among Us as well. And, you know, if Ayan says one thing and because he's like a credible source and no one else can disprove it, everyone just believes it. You know, it's pretty crazy.
Jeez. Imagine in the future being in like a courtroom or something. And it's just like, yeah, he's pretty sus. Let's,
Your Honor,
let's,
your
50 years in prison.
Actually.
So yeah, in terms of like mob mentality, how much do you guys actually fall victim to it? Like I know I personally do fall victim to it. Like I do follow what people say and I'm somewhat influenced, especially our friend group, you know, it's what, 9 people or so. So just by having that many people telling you to do one thing, you kind of like conform to that thing. I don't know, what do you guys have any experience with that?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, ever since we coined the term simp in our friend group, I think it's become more of a case of, oh, Saud simp, everyone calls you simp. There's like, there'll be simp, and then there'll be simp, 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 or F, and then F, 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 F.
I think at this point, we each have a name for each other that is along the terms of simp. Like, I'm the original simp. I think we have...
I have you listed as simp on my phone.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Oh, God.
I think Hassan was simp of the month for, I don't know, July or something.
Yeah. Who voted him?
Voting, again, look at that. Jeez.
Yeah, I think mob mentality is just a modern-day kind of term we've coined for conformity. Like, just in general, if... Like, let's say you don't partake in that mob mentality kind of pressure that you're putting on that one person, then you get called a simp for supporting them. The whole thing is about simping in the first place, and it's just this insane back loop that you go into. But yeah.
What was it the other day? Someone made a slightly questionable joke on one of the groups, and then he was like, everyone on that group was like, oh, you should have made that joke. Our group, it was like, ah, that was amazing. That was so funny.
I think at the end of the day, as long as we know it's jokes and it's on a smaller scale, then it's fine. You see mob mentality take place a lot with cancel culture because, like, you know, if one person does something wrong and one person spreads the word, then before you know it, that person's just, you know, out of society immediately. Which is why it's so toxic, you know? Like, there's no evidence, there's no chance for redemption. It's just out of there.
That goes also, that plays a lot with the bystander effect in terms of, like, someone being in the position where they are witnessing something, but they don't have the ability to kind of change that because of that sense of responsibility that comes from it. And that, I feel, a lot, like, kind of deters people from actually acting on a situation, and rather than, you know, not doing anything, they conform to that ideal. And that kind of goes around the idea of your character and how the circumstances that you're actually placed in kind of makes you follow these trends based on the circle of your circle of influence.
Absolutely. I feel like if you're someone who, like, your credibility also matters a lot into this. I feel like if you're someone who is very popular in your school or something and you're known for a particular thing, but let's say you slip once, everyone is like, ah, oh, we got him. Like, now let's go at it, you know? But, like, let's say you're someone who's relatively quiet and not very, you know, out there and well spoken, or not well spoken, but just like well known amongst people. People won't feel the need to kind of attack you or go in with that mob mentality because they know that people won't conform. They know people aren't going to be bothered to conform to that.
I mean, we say that, but it still happens in our school where, like, even the quiet, like, to an extent, get like, I mean, we all know it's in good jokes, but you know, like, it still happens. It's not to say that people that are less spoken than others are exempt from it. I think it's just so that when it happens, it's not brought up because they're not well spoken, rather than it being a case of nobody does it to them because they're not well spoken.
Yeah, it happens to everyone.
Solid.
Everyone's a victim of it. It just, that's just how it is, I guess. It's just the extent that varies from one person to the other.
So when people are like kind of resorting to fitting into someone else's ideas or their viewpoint on something, that kind of makes them fit into that role that isn't them, and that takes a toll on like their mental health and their attitude and outlook towards other things, and then they end up becoming not themselves. And a lot of that comes from, like you said, the validity of the person that you're following. And especially nowadays, the verification tick online has influenced so many people. Like, especially like what you said in terms of the cancel culture, when one person assumes something about someone else, that whole fan base ends up going to that person and having that specific viewpoint, whether that be a positive viewpoint or a negative. It kind of plays like a pessimistic but also optimistic role in society nowadays. And it's very important to understand that power of the person that you kind of look up to. And that also places that pressure on that person to make sure that whatever they're saying or like advocating is the right thing.
When it comes to the blue tick, I think that's a very, like, it's a way to objectify validation because people now do so many things to fit in for the sake of clout. That's another thing that's very, like, you know, common in our society is the fact that people conform to things because they get clout from it. If you have the blue verification, clout is just this weird kind of value that just seemingly adds to your personality now. If you have it, you're more like popular, you deserve more respect. That one small blue tick holds that much value, you know? And it's not even physical, which is the craziest part of it all.
I think the worry is that when people have the blue tick, they don't realize the power that they hold. Like, obviously, these influencers don't ask to be a kind of idol or a figure that their followers should follow, but to an extent, they know that that's the case. They just don't want to admit it as to not hold the moral obligation that they're responsible for another person's actions. Like, for example, like, I haven't seen it as much on social media, such as like Instagram, but I definitely see it a lot on Twitter where, you know, when like celebrities have like arguments or whatever, and then you'll just see like these stan accounts are something I can't stand at
K-pop stan
all.
accounts
K-pop
are
stan
the
accounts especially,
worst.
they're
I'm
like,
sorry.
oh my God. Like, it'll be something football related and I'll just see like, go stream this. I'm like, this has no relation to do with anything that I want. Anyways, like, yeah, you'll see celebrity A argue against celebrity B, and then their fans, as a result, start arguing and start making it a much, much, much bigger thing than it was. Like, I remember when One Direction first broke up, there was like a massive argument between, I think, Zayn Malik and, I want to say it was Louis, and what's it called? Fans just like, well, what is happening? It's like World War III happens almost every single day. We just don't see it happen because it's done online.
I mean, it kind of gets blown out of proportion at this point when something so little, like a simple statement online from a popular influencer, just the power of the fan base can kind of exploit that and just use that situation to their advantage, whether it be for their own beliefs or whatever cause they're going for.
It's crazy to think that, like Leon said about the One Direction thing, that fandom, that like, you know, fan base was all united at one point. Those five guys represented one group of fans. But as they split up, you notice like people started taking sides, you know, and
In
suddenly
5 years, just come back.
yeah,
5 years.
and all of a sudden, like before you know it, there's this weird divide amongst that fan base itself. It's like you saw some people really get left behind and unacknowledged. I think Louis and Niall were the more like people that were unacknowledged after, you know, the split. Zayn Malik and Harry Styles were still very popular. They came out with really good music and whatnot.
I forgot about Liam.
And yeah, I know. Okay, I guess that says it all then. That says it all, right? Yeah, I was about to come to Liam as well. I think Liam was that like one hit wonder. He came out with one good song and then everyone kind of went like, oh, he still has that musical kind of talent. But you get what I mean. At the end of the day, there's this split between that fandom and there's a lot of conflict in the end. And that's why everyone wants them to come back, you know?
So are you telling me that if One Direction were to come back together, it would solve world peace?
Of course, 100%.
World War III, world peace, yeah.
Bro, that's our goal then. That's our goal.
Yeah.
It's like speaking of One Direction, more so linked with anxiety, I believe the only reason Zayn left was because of like anxiety in terms of performing, in terms of having to do something he didn't want to do, which to an extent I can understand, but like it's not peer pressure in the way that you and I would think, where it's like, oh, I'm gonna peer pressure you into jumping off of a cliff or something. It's more so I'm gonna peer pressure you into writing a song or performing for some cause or some notion that you don't believe in. And yeah, to that extent, I'd say peer pressure can be very susceptible, especially towards people our age, like, and a bit younger, especially because I think after you reach like 18, 21-ish, you kind of have that sense of, okay, I know what's good for me, I know what's not good for me. But kids that are definitely younger, they kind of look towards these older figures and especially these like celebrities that they follow. Like, I know, for example, like that's my biggest concern with platforms like TikTok, like Instagram, where there are these celebrities that are like our age, a bit younger, right? That are still learning, that are still developing as people, right? They'll make mistakes, but these mistakes would be less so than one that a slightly older celebrity would make, because like they have that sense of, okay, these people are looking up to me. Where like, for example, Charli D'Amelio, she's like what, 14, 15? Like, I guarantee you she doesn't want to have that thing where it's like every single bit of her life is like microanalyzed and she's held accountable for something that like a what, like 100 million people are just gonna follow and do. Like, for example, whether it comes to like, for example, like you see articles these days about like people going outside without their masks, and you see people actually defending it, which baffles me, because it's like any other person does that, you're coming at them, but it's the person you support, so you're like, yeah, it's fine, they'll give them a free pass.
Like that, the consequence of all those pressures, especially at a young age, can come out to be somewhat of a burnout for them. And in terms of celebrities or influencers, that would be content burnout, but that also applies to everyone else. Like whatever situation that you're going through, there's an inevitable stopping point where you can't take that task anymore just because of the amount of expectations that everyone has against you. And that places pressure on yourselves and pl places pressure on society as well to live up to those kind of ideals or roles that they expect you to fit into.
Yeah, I
I
feel
think the
like.
major reason. Oh, sorry, I was going to go on.
Go ahead, go. It's fine, it's fine.
All right. I was just to add on there, like, I think in terms of incentive, the incentive that they have is like, I don't think that personally that they would enjoy doing the same dance like every couple of hours, right? And uploading it like once a day, twice a day. I think the reason they do what they do is because of the incentive of money, right? You look at these other smaller TikTok accounts, they've got like max 100 videos uploaded. You see these massive TikTok accounts, like a couple of thousand, and like it hasn't even been that many days since TikTok started blowing up, right? It's like been what, hardly under 2 years since it blew up. It blew up like December last year, December, November last year. So you think about that, and you think about like the whole burnout thing you said, where you see a lot of these larger celebrities taking it way better. Like, I know I've been on about this man continuously, but like take a look at Robert Pattinson, right? He did Harry Potter, he did three Twilight movies, and then he disappeared. Like, most people didn't know where he went. He went to go do smaller indie stuff, and then a couple years later, like, he's found himself. He knows what he wants to do. He's like matured in the sense of he's not necessarily chasing a paycheck. He's more so, I watched this interview he did with Variety, and it was, he's not ch chasing the paychecks. It's more so he wants to do something that he himself would personally enjoy doing. And I think that's the reason why we definitely hold older celebrities to a much higher account, because I think at that stage it's kind of similar to what I said earlier. You know what's best for you. So, like, he's done that, and look at him now. He's in, like, what, he was in The Lighthouse last year, he did Tenant with Chris Nolan this year, and now he's Batman. I mean,
He's making a living.
glow up wise, I mean,
What
you
was
couldn't
that?
ask for much more.
What was that movie where he kind of, I don't know, tried to starve himself to death or something? Was that him?
No, that was Christian Bale. That was Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Christian. Oh my. Oh God. Big
I think it
mess
was
up.
a
But
Machinist
no,
or
it's still
whatever when
Batman.
he
Don't
was
worry.
recently.
Still Batman.
Still
But yeah,
Batman.
like you're talking about a lot of people finding themselves and firstly trying to do what other people tell them to do, but then by taking that break, they're able to find their own passions and kind of build on their own, build their own path. And I think that's very important for everyone to take into account and not living up to people's expectations, but finding your own kind of way and your own values and what you're able to do. And by setting yourself like those dreams, then kind of pursue them in your own way, not how other people set it out to be.
People's incentives really have changed. Before, like Ayan said, Robert Pattinson, someone who's doing what he does because he's purely passionate about it, whereas a lot of other people are incentivized by clout in general, their ability to, how much money can they make, how many followers can they get if they post this one thing, if they advertise this one brand, how much money will that company give them? And ultimately, with that money, they get cars or they live in a nice house, and on top of that, that's more clout. It's just this vicious cycle, and I feel like that ultimately redefines what society sees as perfect. Everyone kind of looks up to these people as, perfect people, or, with perfect life. That entire kind of ideal, so it said, has changed over the course of the past few years, and I don't think it's exactly for the better. It's a very false and unauthentic kind of life that's being advertised to many young people, and for them to fall victim to that influence is only going to hurt them in the long run,
Think this is something Saud could more so add on than you, Hassan, but in terms of, like, football, and like, those guys are held to, like, incredibly high standards. And you see, like, these articles by, like, publications like The Sun and everything, and there's a big discrepancy in how they treat footballers of one ethnicity compared to another. Like, personally, I feel like whenever I see these articles, that black footballers are held at a much, much higher standard, and they're always, like, as I said again earlier, they're, like, always criticized for the most minute of details. Like, they're, like, for example, Raheem Sterling, Saud, I think you might remember this, or sorry, Wilfried Zaha, my bad, Wilfried Zaha, right? When the whole Black Lives Matter thing was very prominent, like, for summer of this year, and it still is, but, like, when it was at its peak during the summer, he was racially abused, and nothing happened until he had to speak out against it, right? You don't see other footballers being treated the same way that these footballers are being treated too. And to an extent, that can create anxiety, especially amongst these footballers, when you think of how mentally taxing it is. As a, like, it is physically taxing, but it's also very mentally taxing in the way that, for example, especially with, like, to take a position such as, like, a goalkeeper, right? When you're signed on, and you're, like, the substitute goalkeeper, right? You're the bench goalkeeper. It means you're only ever gonna play, like, once every, what, like, 10 games, right? And for, like, things like that, like, to take my club, Chelsea, for example, right? You see Kepa, right? He's, like, fallen, like, he's very badly fallen victim to social media, in terms of, like, you see Twitter just, like, not bantering him. It's just abuse at this point, where it's like, Like, for example, I saw this thing the other day where it's like, oh, Kepler Sebelaga didn't get it, he got tested negative for COVID, and then someone replied saying, why are they testing him? He can't catch anything. It's like, that's
Oh,
just the
laughter.
wrong thing at
Big
the wrong
attack.
time. Yeah.
Bro, but just by saying that, it goes to show that so it doesn't only apply to celebrities. It's just like they have this kind of ideal that they have to fit into, and by having like any type of flaw, the media picks up on it immediately and kind of criticizes them on it. But by having to kind of hide themselves under the wraps by, not showing their true selves, it can end up being a detriment to them if they actually, make a mistake, like you said with Kepa, and how social media ends up, especially in the comment section, where it's like, oh, he made one mistake, and by doing that, just get rid of him entirely
It's a
just because
ripple
of one
effect,
thing.
yeah.
And that's a very toxic way of going about things, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. Because as long as you're anonymous on social media, there's no consequence for that, which is a
Yeah.
very, very dangerous thing to think about.
Yeah, there's a whole life of not just footballers, but any celebrity, any person who's famous and well known for that matter, who we are so oblivious to. We have no idea that they are just humans like us, who undergo probably the same thoughts, you know? Imagine we were in those shoes. That's often something we fail to remember and ultimately fall, you know, victim to that mob mentality and just go after whoever society thinks is bad, in any way possible. Like all that, the whole like Kepa thing with how he got attacked on social media, and like it's borderline abuse at this point. It's cyberbullying to a whole other extreme. So that's just a whole other thing on its own. I guess deviating away from just celebrities and stuff, what about within our families itself? Because being the oldest, me and Ayan, and then Saud being the youngest, how does pressure play a role within your life every day, I guess?
Who do you want to start? Who do you want to start with? Do you
Saud, go
want?
for it. Saud, go
All
for it.
right,
Ayan
let's
and I
go for
probably all
young.
have similar perspectives, so let's hear something from you.
All right, so I'm the youngest child, the second of two lovely children. I'm probably, I'm the favorite, of course. But personally, in the position of the youngest child, it's living up to your siblings, and by having them, being born before you, just by being that. They kind of have their own things that they've achieved, and you have this kind of determination to almost live up to that, or if not better, exceed that. And just having my brother as well going through like the school, same school system, it kind of pushes me to kind of achieve up to him in the sense that I like, let's say he gets a certain number of IB points, right? I want to make sure I get that or go above that. And he's going to a university. I want to get to that university or even a better one. So it's just having, I guess, in terms of familial pressure, it's kind of a good thing because you kind of have a feedback off each other, and it keeps on improving. And then by having that, you'll just become a better person in the future.
It sets that benchmark for you, and it sets an incentive for you to work hard. But at the same time, I think it's very conditional to your family itself and how your elder brother is. If he is someone who is like, you know, very hardworking and has, you know, gotten a fair amount of IB points that can incentivize you enough, then you're obviously going to want to look up to him and perhaps exceed what he's done. Not out of just, you know, for the sake of, you know, being better in the eyes of your mom or dad, but just for your sake, because you have a standard or a benchmark to kind of exceed. Personally, for me as the older child, like definitely there is a fair amount of pressure because you're the one setting the benchmark. You know, you're not reaching up to a bar, you are the bar itself. And that's just, I don't know, inspirational shit. Yeah. But basically, yeah, it's, I think Ayan can definitely agree to that too. Based off of what uni you go to or based off how many points you get, your parents will naturally encourage your younger sibling to be like, you have to be like him. You have to be like him. Or did you see the way he did that? Do you see how he worked his way up? You get compared. So naturally you want to be in a position where, you know, you inspire your younger siblings. You want to be a role model for them. You don't want to be a complete, you know, embarrassment. But at the same time, like, yeah, it's just, it's nice to be someone who is looked up to, for sure.
But at the same time, personally, I'd prefer, because I think both of you are, what, siblings out of two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm out of three, right? So there is that leverage of, there's, I'm the bar, my sister's the bar, and then my brother is almost like, here's your range. I want you to fall in this range or above.
That's right? A good way to put it, yeah.
Right. And to an extent, I feel as if, like, being the older child isn't necessarily the best, because you're setting that bar. There is that pressure to set the bar, and then you don't want to set the bar too high to the point where it's detrimental to your siblings, like, you know, like their mental health, right? I'd love to set a 45, right? But at the same time, the repercussion of setting the 45 is on my sister and then on my brother, right?
Yeah.
It's like, my parents are, what, they're gonna make them work twice as hard to get to that point, right? At the same time, with being the firstborn, I think there's a lot of, not trial and error necessarily, but I have noticed that, at least when, like, for example, when my mom or dad is teaching my sister math, right? There is a lot of things where it's like, okay, you didn't do that with me. How come you're doing that with her now? It's like, you took me like 3 hours to explain me quadratics. You're doing it to her in like half an hour. Oh, what's up with that? But coming alongside with being the oldest, it does come with its own set of, it's like you're the firstborn, right? You pretty much have the, not a birthright, but like you have the expectation as the firstborn to almost be the best because you are the firstborn. Because
mm-hmm.
if you look at it from that perspective, in terms of financial and monetary perspective, parents always invest the most into the firstborn as compared to the second and the third. In terms of schooling, in terms of education, in terms of expenditure, like leisure things. Like, for example, I've had like, what, 5-6 games consoles in my life. My brother he's just taken mine whenever, like,
yeah,
I'm playing, right? And it is something that I do see him complain about quite often, where it's like, oh, how come I don't have a PS4? It's like, sorry, I was born first. It's mine.
Even with clothes, it's crazy. I think, like, my mom will always buy, like, the size of my clothing, and then, you know, a year down the line it'll fit my brother, so, you know, I get new clothes in the end, but he just gets my old ones. That's a very common thing that at least happens in my family. I do kind of wish, though, that I had an older brother, because another thing with being the firstborn is you experience things a lot for the first time. You don't get a warning, you don't get any kind of guidance from someone who's, you know, a similar age level as you are. I think Saud can definitely agree with the fact that your brother helped you a lot in terms of advice for IB. He probably told you to do this then, or he probably gave you an insight as to what you were heading into. And just, I guess there's more things to come, obviously, but being the firstborn, you experience many things firsthand as well. And ultimately, you can help your younger siblings out with that so that they don't go through the same mistakes. Like, I definitely wish I had a brother who also took math HL and could help me with my stuff, but I don't. But I'm out here helping my brother with his math. So part of you kind of also wants that as well at times. But I think the pros of being firstborn definitely outweigh the cons, in my opinion, at least.
I think another thing with being the firstborn is, you know, not to sound mundane or sad, but it's like, you know what it's like to be lonely in the sense that play by yourself, right? Like, but like, my sister was born, I think, 4 or 5 years after me, so I was very used to, you know, playing by myself. And then I see my brother and sister complain. It's like, I have no one to play with. I'm like, what do you mean you have no one to play with? When I was your age, I was like having the time of my life with like my Legos and action figures. It's like, what do you mean it's difficult for you to like play by yourself? You know, it's like, to an extent, but I also feel bad sometimes, especially because of the age gap between me and my brother. It's like 9 years, right? Which is pretty big. So usually, like, our interests, the only common interest we have is video games, right? And even then, it's like a very large difference, right? Like, I wouldn't let him play Call of Duty, but I'd let him play Fortnite. But I don't enjoy playing Fortnite. So it's a very hard to find a common ground, especially being the older sibling, I feel. At least, Saud, you're lucky in the sense that I think there's only like a 1 year age
One
difference
age
between
gap.
you and
Age
your
gap
brother.
matters a lot, yeah.
Mine is only, I think it's 15 months to be exact. Yeah. And that's what makes it special. He's basically like my twin. A lot of people used to say that, hey, who's the older brother? And they usually say, oh, so are you the older brother? Just because I look somewhat like the older brother in terms of height. So, I have that kind of facade in my possession where I'm the older sibling, so they view me kind of differently. But that also shows like the different perspectives that people have for you depending on what type of sibling you are, whether you're the first or second born.
I think we shouldn't ever be restricted to which path we're following, whether it's a legacy that's created by our siblings or our parents or any other person we look up to for that matter. I don't think we should ever restrict ourselves to building off their legacy. Of course, if that's what your legacy wants to consist of, go for it, but never restrict yourself to that. I think we have to realize that there's not just one road to take, there's many different roads. And you should always go down the road that you feel like you can, perfectly shine your personality through, and to kind of just ignore the extra pressure around from society or whether that's family or yourself. Yeah, I think actually in terms of the self, the only pressure you should really acknowledge is self pressure. How much pressure do you put on yourself to achieve the goals you want to in life? Because society is always going to have different expectations. What matters is what you expect of yourself at the end of the day. Try to be your own bar rather than living up to a bar. So,
Wow. Be your own bar.
be the bar, dude. Yep, I
As a
think.
closing remark though, Ion, could you tell us what the formula of pressure is in physics?
It takes physics as well.
Pressure equals four.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Let me
Don't search
help.
it
Let
up.
me
You got
help him in
it.
the chat.
I hate that you've done this.
I can't believe it.
I sent it in the chat.
Pressure is equals the force over here. I was just
All
double
right,
checking. I
there
was
you
just
go.
double checking.
Just testing you.
There you go. So don't have that force over a certain amount of area. You determine the force over the area that you call your
Okay.
brain.
Yeah.
Okay, Einstein.
You are
And with
Isaac
that.
Newton, yeah.
And with that comes to a close of the podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, talking about pressure and mob mentality and all that kind of good stuff. Take care of yourselves. Don't let anyone tell you what to do. Find your own path.
But do listen to our podcast.
Yeah,
Do that. Do that.
absolutely. But yeah, we shall see you on the next episode. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.